Yo, Technical Foul Podcast, it's your boy, OD, back at it with another episode. To the folks out there celebrating those holidays, happy Thanksgiving. You know, it's kind of late, but figured I'd give out my happy holidays to you guys. Christmas is coming up, New Year's is coming up, you know, it's holiday season. Hope you guys have a very merry holiday. But yeah, it's been a minute. Season 5, episode numero tres. You know, we got a lot to talk about. First, we're going to get into, you know, a little bit about the Suns and the dominant November they had, where they absolutely tore it up. Then, we're going to go over and talk about these guys right here, the Minnesota Timberwolves. You know what I'm saying? One of the most underrated teams out west. A lot of young cats. We'll get into that. And then talk a little bit about the drama going out in New York. You know, Tom, Kemba not getting no playing time, Kemba getting in trade talks. We're going to get into all that. So y'all stay tuned. And, you know, I can't leave y'all without a little good for my Celtics and a little bad for my Celtics. So if you guys bear with me for the next, 15, 20 minutes, maybe a little bit longer. There's no Sadiq today. I didn't get to talk to him, but hopefully next time he's around, we'll talk more about the Celtics and rant more about the Celtics. Hopefully there's not much to rant about, but hey, first things first, as I said, Phoenix, still legit. Y'all see it up there. They went undefeated in November, beat the Golden State Warriors a couple days ago, a couple days ago, beat the top dog Golden State Warriors. I'm sure Devin Booker was injured mid-game when that happened too. So, but smoked them. CP3's out there carrying this team on the back once again. Like, he's out in New Orleans, his rookie season. He's been doing this for years, as we all seen. There's something very special about this team, though. They're top 10 in offense, one of the best offensive stats out there, and they're top 10 in one of the best defensive stats out there. As you guys can see, in assists, they're fourth. Mainly that comes from this guy right here carrying the load, in Chris Paul. When you have a guy like that going out dishing and diamond, and then on top of that getting a double-double, sometimes a triple-double, depending on, you know, the type of game he's having. It's either or with this guy. And being able to find guys in the corner, find guys, spread the floor out, you know, just having that IQ out there at such a, you know, skilled point guard, Hall of Famer, no doubt, first ballot. Having this guy dish out to all these shooters. Literally, the entire team is full of shooters. You look down their roster, there's not one person who cannot shoot on that team. And it makes this guy's job right here, Chris Paul's job, way easier than it's supposed to be. You know what I'm saying? And then you look at the points allowed. They're eighth in points allowed in the league. Out of 30-plus teams, they're eighth. That's top 10 in two very high categories on offense and on defense. But a lot of folks want to talk about this guy right here, Devin Booker. 23.4 points per game in the month of November with 5 rebounds per game and added four assists. So these guys are still a threat, regardless of the Cinderella season they had last year that everyone said, oh, this is just a fluke, you know? It's just a, you know, we'll get past this, like, blase. Look at them now. Top of the league, tied with the top spot with Golden State. So, I mean, yes, Golden State got that rematch they won, but Suns are going to be a scary team throughout the year. They're going to be a scary team throughout the year. We'll see how well this team does at the end of the season, but I still think they're going to finish top three in the NBA, not just Western Conference standards, but they're going to finish top three for sure. On to these cats out west. You got the Timberwolves, who many thought they weren't going to have the season that they were supposed to have so far. Starting off, you know, just spot away from a play-in tournament. And you know who's up above them right now? It's those guys out in La La Land, Lakers. They're one game behind those Cavs to get into that play-in tournament. So you look at the squad, you got Anthony Edwards, you got Karl Anthony Towns, who has been amazing, 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 amazing. And then you got homeboy, cook boy, Mr. Ice in his veins, D'Angelo Russell, you know? They're stacked, top to bottom. Well, they're not stacked, but they got the right guys to get them to that possible play-in tournament, you know? But we'll see how that goes. One thing I really want to talk about, though, with this team is a rising star. I really think he's going to be one of the best offensive players. One of the best offensive players this league has ever seen. His name right there, Mr. Number 1 overall pick a couple years ago, Anthony Edwards. You know, very, very underrated. He's averaging 21.9 points per game, 6.1 rebounds per game, and 3.7 assists per game. In my opinion, that's most improved player of the year numbers. And yes, people are talking about that guy out in Charlotte, Miles Bridges, who's having a phenomenal season. But let's not discredit this cat right here, Anthony Edwards, because he's going to make a run for his money to get that most improved player of the year award. I mean, yes, it's still a long season, but he has a very, very solid chance of getting that. Another reason why these guys right here are the team that they are right now is because of the solid work they do on the defensive side. Sixth in steals, fourth in blocks, and I know a lot of that has to do with having Cat in the paint, you know. And you got a guy who anticipates. He doesn't really play like defense, but a solid anticipator in Anthony Edwards. And off the bench, you got Mr. Patrick Beverley, you know. People like that stifling on you all day. You got Beverly on your, you know, ASS the entire game. You know what I'm saying? It's going to have a lot of guys like D'Angelo Russell, like Anthony Edwards, just anticipating where the ball's going to end up going. It's going to make the team that much better on defense. So, shout out to Minnesota. Hopefully they keep it going, you know. But we'll see. Yeah. Whoa. Mr. Kemba Walker out in New York. Getting benched? Since when, bruh? Since when? Right? This guy, 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, was a bucket. He's still a bucket. You know? And you got Mr. Tibbs over here, who's all defensive-minded, who says out of nowhere a couple weeks ago, hey, yeah, Kemba, you don't fit this rotation. I'm letting you see the floor at all. Alec Burke out in New York is getting more playing time than this guy. Alec Burke out in New York is a starter. You know, Tibbs went as far as benching RJ, having RJ come off the bench as a, you know, six-man type of guy. But you got one of the best point guards this league has possibly ever seen in the last 10 years. I mean, you look at the numbers. Kemba is a guy that most really overlook on throughout the last 10 years. He's one of those cats that, you know, had to make a name for himself in the league, even when he got out of UConn. I remember in UConn, he used to be a bucket too, and a lot of people say, hey, yeah, he ain't gonna make it that big in the NBA. Went to Charlotte, did his thing, went to Boston, you know, worked out a little bit, didn't work out at the end. We all saw what happened. He ended up in New York. Now, yes, this guy's battled injuries. Yes, knee injuries are a big deal in the NBA. But, you, there's no way as a coach of a team that's contending for a championship, you know, Knicks aren't fully there yet, but they have the right pieces so far, so shout out to them. But as a coach and as front office, when you come to a decision that you're going to bench the top, you're paying this guy millions and millions of dollars. I think he's the highest paid player on that team right now. You're paying him millions of dollars for sitting on the bench? All right, let's talk about this real quick. Since homeboy got benched, their record has been slipping. I mean, they started off the season pretty well. You know, Kemba sacrificed a lot. He sacrifices a lot to get a team to where they want to be. We saw that with Boston. But since benching this cat right here, since benching Kemba Walker, the team's been slipping. We've seen that. I don't know if he's ever going to come back in the rotation. If he does, hopefully Tibbs comes to his right mind and says, yo, what am I doing? You know, I have one of the best offensive point guards in the NBA right now, and I'm benching him? I'm benching him? You know, we'll see. But will he get traded? There's possibilities out there. They've been talking to multiple teams. New York, you know, there's been talks about, you know, Ben Simmons, Damian Lillard, you know, all those cats. But I think the main trade that the folks out in New York should go for is homeboy who's not playing in Houston, and his name is John Wall. Contracts match, everything matches. I mean, you don't get the offensive stud you have in Kemba, obviously, but you get the same speed, you get the same explosiveness, you get the same IQ to an extent, you know. And yes, John Wall does play defense. I don't know what kind of defense he plays, because we really haven't seen him play the last 2 years. But when he was top form, he was one of the best defenders for his position. He was one of the best defenders in the league, you know. So I think the best trade New York has to make is to get John Wall from Houston. Do that however way you could do it as soon as possible. Trade deadline is coming up, as we all know. You know, Christmas game is coming up. Once the Christmas games happen, that's when teams should start worrying about, hey, yo, what are we going to do with this cat? You got Brooklyn worrying about Kyrie, the Kyrie situation. You got Philly worrying about Ben Simmons. You got that whole situation out in Portland that, you know, with the firing of the GM. So it's like, yo, what am I going to do as a GM right now and as a coach in New York to help the situation? You know how dirty and nasty those fans out in New York can get. You know, it's entertaining, yes, but it's like, yo, y'all have the pieces. Capitalize on that. Capitalize. You know, that's all it comes down to, just capitalizing on it. But yeah, man, New York, do something about this Kemba situation. Hey, don't be surprised if Coach Tibbs is fired. Don't be surprised if he gets put on a hot seat because of this. So, I mean, it all comes down to time at the end of the day. But yeah, moving on to my guys, my boys out in Boston. You know, my guy Sadiq is not here to talk about this with me, sadly. But you know, we'll talk Celtics when he has some time from off the skip. You know, but you see homeboy out there, number zero, Jason Tatum, top five when he has a fade. Top five. I think he's one of the top 10 players in the league, and he's shown it throughout the month of November. You know, he's back in form. He's back into the player he was, and I think he's better than what he was last year. And all it took was for the second best player, who was playing as the first best player on the team, and Jaylen Brown, to get injured. You know. And shout out to Dennis Schroeder stepping up while Jaylen Brown was injured. You know, they went 9-6 in the month of November. Tough losses against the Spurs, Hawks, and the Nets. I mean, Brooklyn came into Boston and just trampled on them. We saw how stacked they are in Brooklyn, especially with a guy with the name of Kyrie not playing, but you got James Harden, Kevin Durant, you got two monsters on one team just able to do whatever the hell they want to do. It's hard to game plan for that, you know? You got two guys on the other side that could play 40 plus minutes a game and produce in those 40 plus minutes a game. And you get blown out when you got a team like the Nets just trampling over you. So you really can't do much about that. You know, the Spurs are young. We saw them just recently beat the Golden State Warriors. They're a tough team out west. You know, I think they're probably going to be one of those teams that get into the playing tournament out on the West Coast. But losing to the Hawks, people forget. Trae Young, Ice Trae, baby. You know what I'm saying? Trae Young, John Collins, Mr. Bogdanovich. All right? to the Easter. Was it the Easter Cup? I'm pretty sure it was the Easter Conference Finals last year against the Bucks, and gave the Bucks a run for their money. A few games away from making it to the finals, you know. So those were tough losses in the month of November for the guys wearing green and white. Now they had a few big wins. One of those came against the Sixers when they had Joel, and the other one came in when LeBron had that comeback off the injury in Boston when they played the Lakers. You know, but Boston seems like they're figuring it out. Dennis Schroeder seems like he's figuring it out. The entire team is meshing, and it's beautiful to see. It's beautiful to watch. It's, as a Celtics fan, you know, it's amazing to see those guys come in together and gel the way they gel. It's like, it takes some time. 10 games into a season is not enough for people to start judging. And yeah, that's what we do as fans. We start judging. We start saying, damn, oh, we got to trade the entire team. You guys heard me say that in the past. You heard Sadiq say that in the past. We got to trade everyone, you know? But shout out to Boston. Shout out to Ime. Coach Ime, keep doing your thing, you know? Keep playing Mr. Jason 40 minutes a game, 38 plus minutes a game, because this is what we have in order for this team to, you know, hold that gold ball at the end of the year. So big ups to these guys. Yeah, man. But hey, that's pretty much it for the episode today. Yeah, man, y'all know what to do. Hit that subscribe button, follow on IG Half Court Entertainment. Yeah, stay tuned for future episodes. Once a week, I'm gonna try to do twice. It's hard with my schedule, blase, you know. But appreciate y'all. Peace, love.